Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is the lesson just read. Reflecting upon these words of the prophet, we see that time is something which just comes and goes. There's always so much to do. And particularly in this Advent season, we are reminded not only of time, but also of being creatures of place. Every time you pick up the newspaper or turn on the radio, you hear that there are only so many shopping days until Christmas. Students and professors both have great concerns about taking care of the exams and papers which are due before the Christmas break begins. For those of you who are far from family and friends, remember this time of the year and the great joy that was always yours to be with them, and now, this year, you're in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You are a creature of place. Time and place have us bound. We are creatures of both. We mark our lives by seconds, by minutes, by hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades. We find ourselves always here, not there. And in the busyness of filling the time allotted to us, we can often miss the sanctifying presence of our eternal God who comes to us in the midst of time to our place. Like those to whom our text was addressed, we need that promise. The desire of nations will come. He comes to bring his glory to time and place. He came to those broken former exiles who just one generation before had possessed their own nation with the glorious Temple of Solomon standing in Jerusalem. They now existed again as a nation, but not with power, but as the broken and powerless who were allowed to be there only by the good graces of a foreign king. We're told in Ezra, the third chapter, that as they began to lay the foundations for the new temple after the exile, that some of the older exiles who remembered Solomon's temple saw what was being built and they wept. Oh, they remembered the past and they wanted to reclaim that past, and the present lost its meaning. They wanted to be sometime else and someplace else rather than where they were. And God sends his prophet to speak words of courage, to speak words, do not fear, for I'm with you. My spirit, which I gave to you, is still abiding among you. And that this place will someday have more glory than that older place, that temple of Solomon. The prophet promises that the desire of nations would come, and by his presence he would bring glory to this new second temple, which looks so humble and so broken compared to the old. That Messiah. The same God speaks to us in the place where we are. How often do we measure the glory of our place on earth by what we can see? Grand dreams follow the seminarian as he enters the seminary. Visions of a future parish, large with a powerful and effective preaching ministry, budgets of many figures, and parishioners who grow in their faith and give love and support to their pastor. And then reality begins to set in with that first class. When that first paper or first sermon is returned with more red ink than the federal budget. Visions of hours of stimulating reading of theology are broken by the reality of having to work two or three part-time jobs to find that ends still don't meet. Every summer and fall, we produce a new crop of Greek widows. What a place to be. And then comes that first parish, You know the one, with over 1,000 active dedicated members. Parishioners just waiting to jump in and help their new pastor. And then the reality. Somewhere in the Midwest, in the middle of a cornfield, a clapboard church, and you're frankly grateful that the doors don't fall off the hinges when you open it. No cathedral, no 1,000 members. What a place to be. Ah, but it is. For it is there that the desire of nations has come. Where was his glory in his incarnation, in his birth in a manger? Where was his glory as he conducted his ministry with those ragtag followers we call disciples? Where was his glory as he hung on a cross to die? The glory of God is not found in place, but rather it is found because of who he is. Where Jesus is, there is the glory of God. And his glorious presence will be with you today where you are. It will be with you tomorrow where you are. It is there in the promises of your baptism, in that humble water that was applied to you in the name of the triune God. It is there in that humble bread and wine of the Eucharist. It is there with the faltering words of preachers themselves made of clay. Yes, the glory of God, the presence of the desire of nations is there in the great cathedrals, but it is also there in those humble clapboard churches. It is there on warships in the Persian Gulf. It is there in the lonely prison cell. Not the place, but the Christ. There is the glory of God. And your place is made holy by his presence. Your time is made holy by his presence. It is the Christ, the desire of nation, who sanctifies both place and time. For us as creatures of time, past, present, and future seem so distinct to us. We find it hard sometimes to leave behind the past, to dream of the former glory days like the ex-football player who likes to look at the videos of when he was 20 years old and now he's 50. Sometimes the pain of the past follows us into our present. As Satan, the world, and our own flesh doesn't let us believe the absolution of the forgiveness of our sins, and it keeps dragging back up. Always that past comes into our present. So also the future to us so often looks so mysterious and unknown because it is to us. We don't know what tomorrow holds. So we live in fear of that. And we can be frozen in this present moment as those exiles were when they returned from their exile, wanting to run to or from the past and not knowing what to do with the future. Then enters the desire of nations, the Lord of time, who by his incarnation sanctified time because he entered into it. The eternal one, becoming man, entering into our time, that which he himself had created. It is his own, sanctified by his presence. And into our time he comes. The present moment is his. The schizophrenia of past, present, and future is healed by the presence of the desire of nations. By baptism, our present is united with his past. For he who historically died for the sins of the world, who rose again, is the one to whom we are united. In baptism, our present is united to his future. For as certainly as he rose again, so also you and I, though we face a grave, will rise again. That is the promise of your baptism. In his supper, he unites our present with his past. As he feeds us with that body and blood, once born of Mary, once sacrificed upon the cross, and now comes to us to feed us, to strengthen us. The accomplished fact of his death and resurrection becomes physical reality to his people, and the past, his past, is brought to our present. And in that Blessed Supper, his future is brought into our present. For we are given a foretaste of a great feast which is yet to come, when all the redeemed of God join in that marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which will last forever. Your moment now, this present time, is sanctified by the desire of nations. By his past and his future, your present in this place has meaning. We may look and say, where is the glory? It is wherever the desire of nations is found. And there, in the words of our text, as the Lord Almighty himself promises, I will give peace. In this Advent season, his peace, the one who sanctifies your place and your time, be with you. Amen.